This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with Ray Jeezy and myself, Wole. The homie Will T is out. Ray Jeezy, what's good, bruh?
Wole, what's going on, brother? Four game winning streak. Let's get it going. I'm surprised that you're not more excited. I don't like the energy you coming on this show with. I told you that when we did our post game show the other night. Bruh, time to get hype. Playoff runs, baby. 2012. Let's do this.
Oh, 2012. That's what we're doing. Oh, I forgot to mention we are also part of Amplifier Media, and you can check us out at amplifiermedia.com. I mentioned that with the homie Will T's out is out. You know, I'm not, he's feeling under the weather, right, Ray? I mentioned that, right? All right, cool. Make sure.
But I mentioned a four game winning streak, and now you're going back to Amplifier. You trying not to jinx it.
Look, you went to college with me, bro. You already know how I am. I'm superstitious. I don't know why you playing me like you don't know me. Like, you know I keep the same routine when something positive happens, bro. I don't know why you think I didn't change the scene up.
You don't know me.
You don't know me. You know what I'm saying? We was out there we were chilling with Tip at Tip concerts, dog, when he was in Dream. So you already know.
Love. It was love.
Baby. It was love. Oh, it was love? Yeah, it was love. You're right. I'm aging myself. All right, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as The John Kime Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Football Team insider John Kime, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene.
This show can also be found on Podcast DC, the local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Hey, don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T ain't in the building, but I will hit his little saying, let's get into our tradition. The pregame. Here's what we have on tap. Seawall Sports and Entertainment Candy Waller will join us to talk about the Washington Football Team defeating the Las Vegas Raiders and their upcoming game against the Dallas Cowboys. At 8:30, we'll talk about Devin Haney retaining his WBC lightweight title in a unanimous decision over JoJo Diaz and Tank Davis retaining his WBA lightweight title in a unanimous decision as well over Isaac Cruz. Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show In the Ring with Al Jones will join us to discuss the two fights. Finally, Testudo times Maryland Terps men's basketball team beat reporter Sam Ostry will join us to discuss Mark Turgeon leaving the Maryland Terps.
Now, right now, we have from Seawall Sports to Entertainment, Candy Waller on the line. It's a big difference from the last time we had you, Candy.
Hey y'all, how you doing?
It's good. How you doing?
We are good.
Look, I'm good. Trying to get out of this state of shock. Like, what am I watching? Look, it was a different vibe. I was asking that question. What am I watching? The last time I was here, but now it's a different. What am I watching?
I know.
We had you on, I think, after the Chiefs game last time, and I remember. We asked you something, and your response was just bad. Now, look at what a change in defensive philosophy and a bye week does for a football team. Candy, what's your thoughts on this four-game winning streak, and what were your thoughts on this victory this past Sunday?
Listen, last week, I was saying, where were we, at Monday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
And I said, man, if this team ends up winning this, it's always if they can win this game.
Uh-huh.
What does this mean?
Uh-huh. Like,
and they ended up winning on prime time, which, you know, this team is historically not good at. So bad. Well, they didn't even have a primetime game last year, I don't think. But anyway, so it was a thing. Like, if Washington football can go into Las Vegas and get a win, especially after the Thanksgiving game with the Raiders and Cowboys, where the Raiders came up with the W.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, but if Washington can beat the Raiders in Las Vegas and they go on a four-game winning streak, into, you know, going into back home into this game with the Dallas Cowboys, I said, this is huge. Like, this is, I don't think most of us had this happening in this way. And the comment that you all just made about the difference a bye week makes, I keep saying, if you all recall, right around the bye, right before then, folks were like, Taylor Heinicke is not it. He's not it. It started to be more news coming out around the scouting that was being done for some of the quarterbacks that are potentially coming out in the draft. So everyone knew, you know, Washington scouts, they're going to this game, going to that game. There was actually the rumor mill started going about Washington potentially trying to trade for Mitchell Trubisky.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I really think Taylor Heinicke was like, listen, I have to stamp that I can play this position as a starting quarterback in this league on this team. And he has come back with a completely different, I mean, he always had that resilience, but he is completely bossed up. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, Taylor is bossed up to a whole nother level. Like, he is not scared of anyone across that line. And I love to see it. I have to be honest. I really do.
Bossed up. I like that. I just think, and Ray and I, we talk about this often. I just think Rivera and I think during the bye, they use that time productively. And, you know, before the bye, they were trying to have Taylor, and I've said this before, Taylor Heinicke play as if he was an elite quarterback, throwing the ball 40 some odd times and them just airing it out. And I feel like now they kind of took the reins back a little bit from that and said, you know what? It's okay to manage a football game. You know, every once in a while, he still gets lucky with certain passes as we saw against the Raiders. Like, he got lucky. But he's not throwing the ball as much. You see him running. When he has the lanes to run, he's not throwing the silly passes often, and you know you're running the football more, which you're taking the hands of, you're taking multiple passing situations away from him by running the football more. I actually think that if McKissick had played, they probably would have ran the ball more. Just that, you know, they felt like, you know, the only back that seemed to, you know, to get positive yardage was Gibson, but he was wearing down, and they didn't want to keep feeding him, and the other backs weren't as productive as he was. But I do feel like they looked at the situation and were like, you know what, our defense is playing good football, we have this ball control type of mentality, we don't need to turn the football over, let's just rein him in a little bit, and when we need him to make a couple plays, he'll make some plays for us, but let's make sure that he doesn't make the big mistake, that way we can stay in games and win a football game.
Yeah, he's efficient.
Yeah.
He's executing efficiently. And you're exactly right. They're not asking him to do something that is just beyond his ability to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think I want to go back to the Tampa Bay game, where I got to give him credit where it's due, because I am good every so often for drag. And I will drag Scott Turner. I will. And he's, you know, to the point of Coach Rivera and his staff preparing and really watching the film and trying to really get these players to do where they're most effective and efficient.
Uh-huh.
I am good with that. Like, I'm good with that. And Scott Turner has been calling from an offensive perspective. He's given a bit of a mix of what's working, leading with what's going to manage the clock. Because everyone knows the quarterback that's on these other teams, they're good.
Uh-huh.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And you don't want to give them the ball back at all if you can.
Yeah.
But if you give them the ball back late in the game, you definitely don't want to give them too much time because they will make a big play.
And what were your thoughts on, a lot of people on social media after the game was over, it was reported earlier that, the initial thought was that tight end Logan Thomas was going to be out for the season. It seemed at that time people reported that he tore his ACL and his MCL from Ndakwe's hit. But it looks like a report came out that, the test came out and at the moment it looks like it's better than what they thought it was. First off, what were your thoughts on the hit, and how big of a loss could this be for the team if he does miss the entire season or enough of the regular season?
Yeah, I definitely was a low hit. Definitely should have been called, I believe. And you could just see it. The TV screen panned across Logan's face and, I could just see the tears in his eyes. That's why I said, okay, he's upset, and rightfully so. It's great news that it's not the tear, but like you just mentioned, the reports are they're still doing testing to be really, super clear on exactly where the damage is. Logan Thomas showed just in the last couple games why everyone missed him and why this team decided to give him the contract that they did. He's a contributor, and I just believe that championship winning teams, they got to have that tight end.
Yeah.
They got to have that go-to tight end. It is an important position to have someone dynamic in, and I think coming up on this game this week, this team is absolutely going to miss Logan Thomas. That was a blow for certain, and I'm sure no one more than himself wants to be out there. I'm so certain of it.
Uh-huh.
But this team is absolutely going to miss that extra weapon out there on offense.
Before we,
they need it again.
Yeah, and before one more thing before we get into the Cowboys stuff, because I know that's what folks want to really let's talk about. It's the Dallas Cowboys for real. The kicker Brian Johnson, he kicked the game-winning field goal with a lot of pressure. We're talking about this is his first, the first game as a Washington football team kicker. And, clutch situation. It's a must-win game if they want to think about the P word, the playoffs. He makes a 48-yard kick, which isn't an easy kick. Your thoughts on, one, Coach Rivera deciding to not go for it and having trust in the kicker, and two, for the kicker to come up big in that situation?
Listen, that was big because I was the one sitting there watching the TV and was like, you got to go for it, Ron. We don't know him, Ron.
Yeah.
We don't know him. but Ron knows him.
Uh-huh.
He knows him.
Uh-huh.
And somewhere along the lines, he said, "Nah, we're gonna kick it."
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Oh my gosh, oh no!" Like, Ron, what are you doing? But I said, "You know what? Ron has been making some decisions here lately."
Yeah.
The number of times he's gone for it on the fourth down, and just some calls that have actually worked out.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, whoa. I mean, he's trusting his gut, and he's trusting his players, and he's trusting his kicker, and I was very impressed.
Yeah.
I was not thinking that this guy was going to – I didn't think he was going to make it. I was like, no, that's way too far for the new kicker. Uh-uh, don't do that. You got to get a little closer. But – you proved me wrong.
No, you're not lying about that. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Amplifier Media at amplifiermedia.com. Right now, we're chatting with a homie, Candy Waller from, Seawall Sports and Entertainment. So, all right, let's go right into it. It's Cowboys week. We can't BS it. It is what it is. This is the Ray said. I gotta amp up. Like I really do. Ray, you're right. I gotta amp up, man. It's the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like if I was in school or I was at work, physically at work, I would see Cowboy fans and I would be in the mode for real to go at somebody. But yeah, it's Cowboys week.
Come on, bro.
Bruh, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, you know what I'm saying, right?
It's
like,
a rivalry game. You can gain ground in the division. You're one of the hottest teams.
I should be amped, though. I agree with you. I should be amped. Maybe I am superstitious. I don't know if this is the reason, but you're right. I should be amped. Because I'm not going to lie to you. The Raiders game, when dude made the kick, I was boosted. I don't know. Like, I didn't know. Like, the Holy Ghost hit me. I felt a different type of excitement when he made that kick. I won't even lie to you, bro. I don't even know why. At first, I was calm, and all of a sudden, he made it. I was like, oh, I started cursing all type of words. I didn't even know I can curse like that anymore. But we're into the Cowboys game. You know, this is, first off, before we get into the actual game, this is my fear. We talked about this on our post-game show after the Raiders game. Yo, do you think FedEx is going to be mobbed by Cowboys fans? Or will it be, or Washington fans, will they show out?
You know, I thought it was huge for Coach Ron to say, hey, we need y'all. Mm. And just the, you know, the desire and everyone coming out saying fans pack the stadium. Now, the flip side of that coin is, like, tickets are through the roof.
Yeah.
But to your point, Cowboys fans would buy those tickets.
Yep.
Like, straight up. They don't care about that price.
Uh-huh.
Cowboys fans would show up for that team. They are true. They are die hard. They don't care. They would come,
uh-huh.
You know, because they would. And a game that is this important for the Washington football team. I mean, I'm sure it's important for Dallas as well, but it's super important for Washington.
Uh-huh.
And the fans absolutely need to be in the building. It needs to look like a home game. And that's sad to have to say that at home, but it's the truth. It needs to look like a home game.
You're right. What you think, bro? You think it's going to be like a home game, or you think it's like going to Texas?
I like the point Candy just made about the price of the tickets.
Uh-huh.
That may play a role. However, we're going to get to this question. I'm jumping ahead a bit, but
yeah.
I feel like this is the biggest game of the Ron Rivera era. And if you, as a fan, if you're really a fan and you want to see this organization do well, because we talk so much about how bad the organization is, why don't we help turn this around by showing up for this big game? The team is playing well. There's no negative story. You have a quarterback who everybody loves. The defense is finally looking like the defense that we thought they were going to be. Why not show up for this game? I'm not a Washington football team fan, and I'm excited about seeing this team play because, again, our shows, I'm sure Candy agrees, all of us who cover the team, we're doing so much better now that they're doing better.
That's the truth right there. Yep.
You ain't know. I know you ain't lying to me. I swear I've been on multiple podcasts this week just getting set for the Dallas Cowboys because they've been winning. Actually, the last 2 weeks, to be real with you, like, folks have kind of reached out just to be a guest on their show because, you know, the team is starting to win. So everybody kind of wins when Washington is playing well. You're right, right? I just don't know. It's wild because after our post-game show and just sitting back and listening to other people, I kind of get the vibe that other, you know, that a lot of folks are excited. You know what I mean? But it's just like, will that translate to coming to the game? Because you can't have a situation, in my opinion, like, I think this, and I know we're jumping ahead a little bit, but I do think this is Ron Rivera's biggest game in terms of his era as a Washington football team coach, and this era as a Washington football team coach, because like, yeah, last season they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the postseason. That was a playoff game. But this is a little different. You're playing your heated rivals. We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys. They're in first place. You really have – this is an opportunity where you're playing good football. I don't want to say – like, you're playing good football. And right now you got two good football teams because right now the Washington football team is 6-6. So they're simply a good enough football team against the Dallas Cowboys who are world beaters in the beginning of the season. And now you have the opportunity – to create doubt, forget winning the division. I mean, they do have a chance to win the division, but to create doubt in the Dallas Cowboys' minds if you do something in this game that can, you know, either a dominant victory or you just a victory to create doubt on that team on that sideline. I think it's the game that as a fan you want to be there. You want to rattle Dak. You want to rattle Zeke. Like, you want to say that, you know what, we helped our football team get this W. And maybe if you're really a Washington football team fan, you know, and maybe put the coffin in the season for the Dallas Cowboys in terms of the in terms of reaching what they thought they were going to reach in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with all of that. And it's happening in a way where no one has expected this,
uh-huh.
right? And without key players. Like, you know, some of these games, you know, Logan Thomas was not a part of. You know, Montez Sweat has not been out there for all these wins. You know, Chase Young has now not been out there for all of these wins. Taylor Heinicke, like we said, just a few weeks ago, we were like, listen, it's been nice knowing you, Taylor, but you can go ahead. But it, and look at how he showed up.
Uh-huh.
And even the offensive line. You know, this offensive line is holding up. They're on their fourth center.
Uh-huh.
And they're winning. They're finding ways to win football games against good, you know, we talk about good teams or great, definitely at least good to great teams, you know, especially quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like I was thinking just earlier today, like, oh, you know, the difference with last year with Dallas, when Washington beat Dallas both times last season, they didn't have Dak Prescott, right?
Uh-huh.
Dak Prescott is a key contributor to that team. That is a true leader of that team. But I said to myself, I said, but let me think about this. Because I didn't think they were going to do it against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure about what they were going to do with Cam Newton, you know, in his return to Carolina.
Uh-huh.
I definitely didn't see it coming on Monday Night Football against Russell Wilson.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't see it coming against Derek Carr in the Raiders in Las Vegas. Like, no way. And the morale is up. They're boosted. And these guys believe they can beat every single team that they play. That's the thing. They believe they can beat them.
Yeah, I agree.
That's almost like in a no question sort of way.
Uh-huh.
Not, and it's not even like confidence or arrogance. It's just, we're better than them.
Yeah, and it's something that Ray would always talk about. It's all about playing with passion and playing with, you know, like you give a damn. You know what I mean? And you see the reactions after these W's from Coach Rivera, you know, and the players. And, you know, you get that college vibe, that, you know, us against the world vibe. When you see them celebrating after the game in the locker room, and, you know, because Washington always, they post them on social media. So you see, you know, like, for instance, Jack Del Rio getting the game ball when he's just throwing an object to the board. You know what I mean? Like, they are in it. Like, they have their own little ritual in terms of winning football games and what they do after it. So it's just like what Ray would say, they playing with some type of passion. Like, they really are. They're playing motivated. They playing with that energy. So, and they, like you said, can they believe? Like, forget what anybody else thinks. Forget what the pundits say when they predict these games every Sunday or every Monday where Washington is never really picked. They don't believe in them, but Washington, like the team, the players, they believe them. That's all they need. That's all you really need. So
can I just say something
real quick? Go ahead, Ray.
And I want to get Candy's thoughts on this, because we talk about passion. We're talking about believing in one another, and we're talking about the bye week, all these contributors to the turnaround. However, I feel like there wasn't enough emphasis placed on the fact that they got a lot of new pieces too. And it took some time for it to gel. That's what I thought. I mean, you got Jamin Davis, who's young. He got criticized heavily on Sunday, but then made a big play and was forgiven by everybody right after that play, that screen pass, that he came from across the field and just showed that blazing speed and why they drafted him where they did. But it takes a while sometimes when you do have new pieces to build cohesion and to build that chemistry. So I don't think we necessarily gave the coaching staff, I don't think we gave them their fair shake to start the year. However, because of Jack Del Rio's reputation and because of the way the defense performed last year, we had these expectations. And now you're seeing it, and that's a scary thing for the rest of the league. Do you think chemistry around this time of the season and heading into the playoffs, because they're going to the playoffs, whether they're division winners or whether they're a wild card team, what does that mean for Washington?
That's an excellent point. Just a few weeks ago, I actually did a whole segment on that exact topic on my show.
Uh-huh.
And I went through the stages of team building and teamwork. And I was like, what I believe we're seeing is a team that's trying to gel. They're trying to figure it out. I'm going to give you an example of one particular player who, in the beginning weeks of this season, y'all, I was like, if y'all don't get him out of that burgundy and gold uniform, I'm going to lose it. And it's a player that I actually really, really like. But he wasn't seeming to fit. I think they had him in a new position. That's William Jackson.
Yeah, he's killing now.
And William Jackson.
Yeah, he's killing now.
Look, William Jackson, if you're listening, please don't let me sound crazy come Sunday, all right? I'm on your side now. So, but he's been solid ever since they got back from the bye. In the beginning of the season, he was penalty I mean, he was leading the league in penalties. It was crazy. Like, he just couldn't figure it out, but he was also in a new position. So to your point, it was new players, and every time you get a new player or put someone in a new position, everything shifts. Everything has to change. And so I do think they needed that time to get it figured out. And I think we're seeing what the – and I think they're still trying to figure it out in their winning football game. So I'm thinking, you know, especially with the injuries, we're still not seeing the team at its ceiling. Right? They're still gelling and trying to, you know, get things going because they're experiencing injuries and folks that have to rotate in and out because of that. But I think that's an excellent point on top of the fact that they actually believe that they can win these football games.
So, all right, Candy.
Yeah.
You know, oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I was you about to say, well, because I'm getting ready to jump to a conclusion type of question.
Yeah, me too. It's basically a conclusion. It's a conclusion, Joy, too.
who you got, Candy?
Yeah.
You sound good right now, but are you confident that you pick Washington against these boys?
Listen, I'm superstitious too. So, the last few weeks, I've been projecting them losing, and they end up winning. And I actually, shout out to our girl, Karita Parks. I made a joke with her at the Wizards game last week, and she was like, well, I think the Raiders are going to win. I said, well, I think the last time we projected the Panthers winning and Washington won. So I'm going to project the Raiders win too, because maybe
oh, man.
That Washington will win. Uh-oh. I'm not saying that this is what my heart was just saying. I mean, but I'm going to be honest with y'all. I absolutely believe that Washington football can win this game.
Yeah.
I do. And I'm thinking because of the length of time that it's been since Dallas played, you know, sometimes going a long time without playing doesn't work for everybody.
Uh-huh.
It didn't work for the Raiders. You know, the Raiders hadn't played since Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was one of their challenges as well. So I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe the same thing will happen to the Cowboys. They'll underestimate who's across the line of scrimmage, and they'll come out a little flat. I am concerned about their defense because I'm impressed with Dallas' defense. I like them a lot. I'm like, they're good. But, I mean, everybody else had a good defense too,
yeah,
for the most part.
Yes. So you got Dallas. Your superstition has Dallas. So I've been like I'm completely opposite.
Yep.
I've been picking right with this Washington team.
Yeah, but you pick right and I'll pick.
I've been picking kind of right. I just try to be as real as I can to, like, you know, the competition of competing. I do think Washington can win this football game. I do. I just think that they're playing better football at this particular point in time than the Dallas Cowboys. If you caught me 4 weeks ago, where, you know, the Cowboys' offense was world beaters and everything was going right, I would definitely go on the side of the Cowboys. It does scare me that Amari Cooper's totally back, though. I won't lie. Like, Amari Cooper has become a Washington football team killer. But, yeah, I'm going to go to Washington. I'm going to go to Washington, I'll say 24-20. What you got, Ray? Before we let Candy go. Is Ray there?
Did he lose Ray?
Yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. I try to put myself on mute when I'm not talking. But I've been picking. I've picked the last 4 weeks. I picked Washington to lose, and they've won each game. So I'm gonna stick with that trend. I'm picking Dallas. And hey, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Definitely.
I don't think there's going to be a lack of motivation on either side.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. So, hey, Candy, before we let you go, how can our how can folks catch you? Or catch your show, and also how can they catch you on social media?
So let me go through the list, and thank you guys so much as always for having me.
No problem.
The show. So you all can catch Coaching from the Couch, the Washington football team update on Mondays at 7:30, and Coaching from the Couch on the Seawall Sports and Entertainment Facebook page. And you can also catch Coaching from the Couch, the DC Sports Weekly update on the Seawall Sports and Entertainment Facebook page. Both shows are done live. You can also catch both shows on cable television. If you have Verizon Fios, it's on channel 11. And if you have Comcast Xfinity, it's channel 77. Every Friday, the DC Sports Update comes on at 1:30, and the Washington Football Team Update comes on at 2. And also for, like, social media following, at T-Ball Sports. I'm on Instagram and at T-Ball SE on Twitter.
Well, Candy, thanks for being on. We know we totally appreciate you, and we'll catch you. We'll catch you hopefully on a good little run. All right.
All right, see you guys.
All right, see you, Candy. Hey, right there, we got our next guest, so I'm not going to go to break, man, because, you know, this is the homie, man. This is the homie, you know. And, you know, there's a big fight that went down. Two big fights that went down over the weekend. Tank Davis and Devin Haney, they both retained their lightweight titles. But I want to bring on the homie, you know, who knows all about boxing. Right now, we have Al Jones from the world-renowned radio show in the ring with Al Jones. What's up, my man?
Hey, what's good, everybody? How y'all doing, man?
Hey, Al, I ain't seen you since you predicted Deontay Wilder. hey,
you know what? My emotions ran in that last thing. It was all emotional for me, man. I wanted to see the brother take a victory. You know what I'm saying? So it was so good. I wanted, you know, but unfortunately, things didn't work out as expected.
Look, man. Hey, yeah, I was with you.
I'll say that.
Hey, bro. We also predicted. We also tried to go on opposite of the spectrum and try to pick Porter to beat Bud Crawford. I was with you. I ain't gonna lie. I was with you. But you know,
right.
Bud was Bud though.
Right. Bud is a very tactical guy. You know, he's an excellent boxer. I mean, he utilized his jab. His strategy worked for him. He clutched in time of trouble, you know, and he waited. He sat back and actually watched the Errol Spence fight and waited for Sean to unwind. And when Sean would, you know, cock back and unwind and swing wide, Bud was waiting on him and took advantage. I didn't know actually if Bud can handle the pressure.
Yeah.
Of Sean Porter, because y'all know, just like I do, Sean applies pressure.
Facts.
If you fold in the midst of pressure, then Sean is going to take care of business and get you out the way. But Bud, being the fighter that he is and a great boxer that he is, he waited and took full advantage of that, the same way Errol Spence did.
So, Al, real quick, before we get into like the nitty-gritty of the fights that we saw over the past several weeks, past weekend. I mean, I know we just kind of went back a little bit, but what was the vibe like in Vegas around that fight? Was it split? Did Bud have a lot of fans? Because Bud gets a bad rap for not having the greatest following outside Nebraska.
Okay, so with the fight with Bud and Porter, Bud's fans really showed up.
Oh, okay.
It was electrifying. I mean, he had, even though, you know, because Porter stays in Vegas now. You know, he had some fans, but he had a few fans in the building. But, I mean, I was overwhelmed. I was like one of the only people, felt like one of the handful of people that was, you know, rooting and cheering for Sean. I mean, I stood strong. I stood by his side, you know, through thick and thin. I stood by the homie. You know, both of us being from Ohio, I caught a lot of flack that night, to tell you the truth. Because Bud people were there, they showed up, and they showed up good. You know, it was a little back and forth, but
it was.
You know, Bud took his business and walked out with the W that night. He was a better man.
I wish we could have had you on before.
Me too, bro. I ain't gonna lie, because there's so much I want to talk about.
Porter has said so much since the fight on his podcast about the father-son dynamic and how that contributed. His father was not happy throughout the entire camp, and that, you know, factored into the decision, of course, to stop the fight. But anyway, we can't go there. Maybe we'll have to catch you, you know, on another day. But of course,
yeah.
You know, you say you're from Ohio. We're from the D.C. region, and right up the street, of course, is Baltimore. And B-More's own Tank Davis, he retained his WBA lightweight title with unanimous decision over Estock Cruz. The fight, of course, was more competitive than many thought. What were your thoughts on the fight, brother?
Hey, it was a great fight. You know, Tank displayed a different dimension of himself this past weekend.
I agree.
And I was glad to see that. I mean, in D.C., in the DMV, you guys have a, you know, those brothers have a totally different, just straight head hunting, knock your head off, rock 'em, sock 'em, robot type style of fighting. Especially with Barry Hunter. You know, Barry Hunter, a good friend of mine, he's been on my show. Barry Hunter, he, you know, the name of his gym is Head Hunter. You know what I'm saying? So, Barry Hunter, and it was good to see.
Peterson.
It was, I was glad to see Tank, because Floyd seemed like he had his hands on this particular camp.
Yeah, seems like
it. I know. Because Tank didn't come out with the notion of trying to knock out Aesop Crew.
I agree.
You know, he came out, he looked good, he showed a difference, he showed defense, he showed a little bit more poise, he didn't get frustrated, he worked on a few things, you know, and they say he hurt his hand, you know, and good to Aesop Cruz, Cruz's defense, Aesop had the ability to keep that right hand up and block that left uppercut from coming in. So, but I was overall impressed with the performance by Tank. It was good to see him, you know, box in another dimension and from a different perspective, because when you go to that elite level, it's not all about a knockout.
Yeah, facts.
And you guys know, just like I know, Teofimo Cruz went into that.
Yes.
I mean, Teofimo Lopez.
Lopez.
Yeah, they're talking about. They're talking about.
Thinking that he could just walk through someone and work on his power, you know, this whole fight surrounded around power. But it's gonna come time when you need to exert some different tactics and just instead of just power, because that limits you, you know, to a certain degree.
No, I agree.
I can definitely tell that Floyd had a great impression on this particular camp for Tank.
Do you know?
I was glad to see Tank do his thing.
You know what reminded me of? It reminded me of where an Earl fought Mikey Garcia, and he just wanted to showcase like how he can box, like, and that was his thing. Like, he knew he could, you know, Earl can go to the body anytime he wants to and kind of just take you out. But he just wanted to fight from the outside and show folks that he can box. This is what looking at Tank, what Tank did on Sunday, that was what I was thinking. I was like, he was showing folks that he can box. He wasn't just trying to knock him out. I actually was real, like, I was mostly impressed with Tank in the 12th round because he basically did that with one hand. One hand, like, the whole time. And outboxed him with one hand. I was so impressed with that. So impressed with
but
that.
But he hurt his hand around the sixth, though.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing what he did.
That's
like, yeah,
crazy.
He did hurt around the sixth, but he was still kind of using it a little bit. But in the 12th, it was one hand, bruh. The whole fight was one hand. I was like, bruh, and he was still getting landing shots with the right. I was impressed. Like, that 12th round, I was so impressed. Because if Cruz wins that round, it's a split decision. You know, I mean, it's a draw. Not split, it's a unanimous decision, but it's one person can give him a draw, right? But it was so impressive. I was impressed. I was very impressed with that.
Yeah, a lot of people had it closer than what the judges had it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they had it closer.
Was
than
it 116, 112, and both 115, 113, right?
Right.
Yeah, so right. Yeah, it could have been, yeah, and, definitely.
Yeah, and it was a great fight. And just like Tank had to give credit up to Aesop Cruz.
Yeah.
And saying a star was born that night. You know, another star was born.
Yeah.
And you got to give him credit. That man went in there and took care of business. He's definitely going to get another call and more fights. And the possibility, I mean, the Latino crew backs him up. The Latino nation, I mean, they love him.
They did.
You know, Latino showed up. And I'm going to tell you, when I was in Vegas at the JoJo Diaz, Devin Haney, they took over the building. Latinos really support their fighters, which is good. And they took over. There were more. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard it on TV, they were actually booing Devin Haney.
Oh, I heard it.
In his own backyard.
Yeah. I heard it.
That's a perfect segue. So what were your thoughts on that fight? Obviously, Devin Haney, he retains his belt, stopping JoJo Diaz, which wasn't a shock to me. I think JoJo is an overachiever. Excellent fighter. He's getting better as he grows, but Devin Haney is a special boxer. Maybe he doesn't have the most power, but he can box his butt off. And that's how
he plans to win a lot of these fights. He's going to be tactical. He's going to take you to a decision, and he's going to win because he's going to hit you more than you hit him.
Exactly. And more impressively, Devin also showed, he demonstrated that he can take a punch, too.
Uh-huh.
Because Jojo Diaz caught him and had him struggle sometimes. I was a little leery and didn't know what was going on, you know, but I was glad to see he recovered from some of those shots. Jojo Diaz hits hard, fellas. And I saw the sweat coming out of Haney in the water coming out of his head. Sometimes I see he got caught with some of them punches. But he demonstrated that he has a chin, too, which a lot of people was, you know, thinking that Haney's chin was suspect in the Linares fight when Linares had him stumbled a little bit in a spaghetti leg. But Haney demonstrated, like you said, he demonstrated all of that. He demonstrated the power. He demonstrated the tactics. And he also, last but not least, said, hey, I got a chin, too. That was very good night. For Devin Haney. I was very impressed with that.
So what's next for these guys? You got Tank, not even Tank, I should say. It's Leonard Ellerbe, who's on social media just going off about who they want to fight, who they tried to fight. He's saying they're not ducking anybody. Floyd gives mixed messages. Then, of course, you got Devin Haney, who he's going for Kambosos. What do you see for these guys coming up?
Well, you know, I would like to see – this is what you have to keep in consideration.
Uh-huh.
And what's going on right now. The WBC may throw a mandatory in there and just shake the whole game up. I would love to see Devin Haney get ready for Kambosos and fight for a title.
Uh-huh.
But then you have the sanctioning belts and the sanctioning guys, they might throw a mandatory in there and throw a whole monkey wrench into everyone's plan. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So it's hard to say right now. I mean, Devin Haney deserves it. I mean, because Teofimo, unfortunately, was setting himself up for the Devin Haney fight. But, and you know, he wanted that and want and needed that payday. So hopefully he will have a chance to see Kambosos. And Tank, at the end of the night, he called Kambosos out also. And was everyone has, I mean, Kambosos is walking around with a dart on his back right now. You know, with the dart on his back right now. So, and then you never know. We got Lama Chico coming up this week.
Man, the boogeyman.
Mm-hmm.
The boogeyman.
So listen. Exactly. Lama Chico may have the opportunity himself. I can see the WBC making him a mandatory for Kambosos.
I'm telling you, man, a mandatory for somebody. I don't see that one. I think the next fight for Loma is definitely Shakur. I think Bob Arum has enough influence to make that happen. Now, he's already said it twice this week.
That he's looking for Shakur. But now things have
Shakur versus Loma.
He's gonna protect Shakur.
Yeah, he better protect him.
A top rank. He's gonna protect his investment with Shakur Stevenson. I mean, he just lost Bud. Bud is, you know, signed with Mayweather Promotions now, from my understanding. That just happened today.
Oh,
Bud
he did?
Signed with Mayweather Promotions.
With Mayweather?
So we may. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. So it's a lot of developing going on right now. With Bud going to Mayweather Promotions. And he doesn't want to lose. He doesn't want to upset Shakur right now. So he's going to protect Shakur and protect his investment. So, it's easy to do in-house, Loma and Shakur. But Loma will either be a man to watch the WBC or one of those sanctioning bodies make him a mandatory for the next fight. Somebody, even Devin Haney's mandatory.
I
wouldn't be surprised.
On social media, you see Ryan Garcia calling out Tank. Can that happen? I think that fight is electric. Actually, that's like the perfect fight for a viewer.
I think so also. But what's in it for Tank? Not like Ryan Garcia. He doesn't have a belt. What would beating up Ryan Garcia do for Tank? Nothing. So, Ryan Garcia, and I even hate that he's even mentioning, and I can't blame him. I throw a name out there, too, if I was him.
Uh-huh.
Even Rowley is throwing out a name for Tank still. Rowley needs to sit down and be quiet until he takes care of his personal issues. But Ryan Garcia, the same way, should sit down and be quiet, get a couple tune-up fights. he's not ready to step in there with any of those top fighters right now. After being over the layover that he had with injuries and mental breakdown. So they really need to rebuild themselves, take care of the personal issues before they jump in there with their monsters.
How about Haney and Tank? How about seeing them two go at it?
Hey, Haney stated, Tank stated that's easy work for them.
Uh-huh.
That's a big money fight for those two. They can make a lot of money. People will pay to see that, especially after this weekend. I can see that happening. But we got to, like I said, we have to sit back and wait and see if any mandatories are going to be scheduled now.
Uh-huh.
You just got to keep that in consideration in the back of your head with the mandatory that the WBC and the other sanctioning bodies may incorporate.
All right, before we let you go, I do want to mention, because you said Bud going to Mayweather. That just caught me. I'm sorry, it's caught me. I won't even lie. Yeah. Like, that just caught me. Like, I'm still stumbling on that one. Like, so you said that. So what you heard, that's happened today. Yo, what's the impact on that? That's crazy. Like, that's... That's a power move, man. I'm sorry. That's a power move.
Yes. But, I mean, if he wants to fight, if he wants to get in there with Spence, if he wants the opportunity to jump in there and get the paydays and get the belt, that an opportunity that he deserves, he had to do that. I mean, it only makes sense because it wasn't going to happen any other way. Al wasn't about to put his, you know, it's in-house now, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now it's in-house. So he had an opportunity to see Spence, had that opportunity for a fight with Ugas. So now we can, you know, it's going to shake things up. So I'm glad, hopefully, for my sources, hopefully that's, you know, it's etched in stone and about to happen because Bud Crawford deserves it. You know, in the boxing world, we want to see the best fight the best. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's nothing like seeing that happen. So he had to go in-house reluctantly because Bob couldn't get it done for him. Top Rank couldn't get it done for him. So Ugas and Spence, they got to watch out because here come Bud.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
Yeah, you delivered breaking news on our show today.
I appreciate you, man. I know, right? I'm like the same thing. I appreciate you. I was like, when you said it first, I was like, wait a minute, what, huh?
Right.
And Al, before we let you go, man, how can our listeners catch your content and hit you up on social media and tell them about your dope ass radio show?
Oh yeah, no doubt. Thanks, man. Yeah, that's In the Ring with Al Jones on all social media platforms. Also, AJ In the Ring. You can reach me on that on AJ on IG also, and I'm on 5 to 6 p.m. Okay. On NewsTalkCleveland.com, 1490, WERE, you know, I'm with Radio 1. So I'm on the same platform as Ricky Smiley, DL Hughley, you know, and the rest of the fellas, Al Sharpton. So we all on the same platform. You can get me there each and every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m.
Awesome. Al, man, appreciate you for being on,
yes,
man.
Sir.
We do and definitely appreciate you.
It's always a pleasure, fellas. Thanks for having me on, man. Urban Sports, I mean, y'all doing it. Y'all keep it up, man, because we all going to get together and collaborate and do good things in 2022.
Oh, definitely, man.
You know it.
All right, Al, man, appreciate you, my man.
Okay, have a good night.
Have a good one.
Again,
follow Al on Twitter at The Ring Al Jones. Again, at In The Ring Al Jones. All right, man, time to go to break. Maryland coach Mark Turpin stepped down. Says To-Do Times beat reporter Sam Ostrich will join us about the impact of Turgeon's departure after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces.
Hello, it's me.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray Jeezy, myself, Wole, and we are part of Empire Media. Will T is out. Ray Jeezy.
Right now, we are joined by Testudo Times, Maryland Terps men's basketball team beat reporter, Sam Ostry. He's on the line. What's up, Sam? And of course, welcome to the Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah,
we
no
appreciate
doubt,
it.
No doubt. So I just mentioned to Sam before we came on that I was covering the ladies last week, and that's the move right now because they're the only team that look like they're going to make some noise from the season. But, of course, the guys were in the news this past week because head coach Mark Turgeon stepped down as the head coach, and that came as a surprise to many. Sam, what was your thoughts? Why did he step down?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone else, I was absolutely shocked. I mean, when that news came out on Friday afternoon, I don't think anyone was expecting that. But really what it came down to was a couple things. I mean, first, he really didn't see a future here. Like, the way this season was going, they were off to a disappointing start. He was likely going to be fired after the year with the way the season was going, just based on he had been hearing it from the fans, pressures from the boosters, pressure from the administration to win and win in a big way. And this team had expectation going in, and they weren't fulfilling it. So it was likely if this season was going the way it was, he was going to be fired. And the other thing was just the pressure of the job and the fan base and everything, a lack of support that he got from the fan base, it ended up getting to him. I mean, last Wednesday night, which was his last game ever coached for Maryland, in a loss to Virginia Tech, it was an ugly scene in the Xfinity Center. I mean, there was boos when he was introduced. There was fire Turgeon chants throughout the game. And then as he walked off the floor for the last time, he was getting heckled. So, like, it was just too much. Like, the fan base overwhelmingly, they wanted him gone. They wanted to see him fired. Especially after the start the season had. So he made the decision, like, I've had enough. I don't really see a future here. Do I want my family to keep going through this? Or am I just going to walk away? And he walked away.
Well, it's been that bad for him, even, I mean, within the fans and the students?
Yeah, I mean, like, he really did not have a lot of support going into the season.
Okay.
And then this season, there was expectation. I mean, they're ranked 21st in, like, the AP top 25, and then, like, he created expectation. He said this team could have a serious chance of going deep in the NCAA tournament, and then it looked like they might not even make the NCAA tournament. So, like, the fans were nasty to him. You can debate if it was justified or not, but they were, and he had enough.
So I kind of like the expectations of the fans and of the students because, to be honest, there are some programs who would love to have Mark Turgeon to make the NCAA tournament consistently, to have your school on TV and mentioned amongst the top teams. When Jalen Smith was your best player, these teams with good leadership, I'm talking about, you know, Morsell and other guys, Ayala, you know, again, guys who have been solid players, they competed. They were right there in the discussion at the top of the Big Ten. They would routinely defeat teams like Michigan State. He's been a good coach in my eyes, you know, but of course people wanted more. They were tired of him, I guess, becoming stagnant. But what would you say would describe his tenure, or how would you summarize his tenure here in College Park?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're definitely right to say that he's a good coach. Like, I don't think you can argue he's a bad coach. And since he's been since he left on Friday, you know, a lot of people have come out in support of him, other coaches, a lot of big-time national college basketball media members, and said he's a good coach. He's going to land on his feet and get another job. But, I mean, when you look at the history of Maryland basketball, it's a really storied program. The guy before him, Gary Williams, he maybe didn't end the best in his final few years, but he went to two Final Fours and won a national championship in 2002. So, like, the expectation is really high for a program as storied as Maryland. And to be honest, in the 10 years, he really didn't live up to that expectation. I mean, they went to one Sweet 16, and he had some good teams. Uh-huh. He recruited and put together some really good, good, fun teams to watch. But they only went to one Sweet 16. They only won, were on top of the Big Ten once, was that 2020 year, when they could have done something special, but obviously COVID canceled that tournament. But that was a regular season Big Ten championship, and they shared it with two other teams. So at the end of the day, he won a lot of games for Maryland, and he was a good coach. They didn't, the Maryland fans didn't want to just win games anymore. They wanted to really compete at the, in the postseason on the highest stage, and he consistently underachieved it. So that's really what got the Maryland fans.
Of course, of course. Understandable. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Right now, we are chatting with the Pseudo Times Maryland Terps men's basketball team beat reporter Sam Ostrey.
So Sam, how is it going to impact some of the new recruits that the people he brought in this season, and maybe some of the guys he was working on prior during the season?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's what everyone's asking right now. You know, usually what happens in college basketball when there's a coaching change, the head coaching change, there's a new guy comes in the following. Well, usually that happens after the year.
Yeah.
But everyone will decommit, and the guys that were there, they recruited him, will probably be out the door. It's not clear really what's going to happen. I mean, Fats Russell, their point guard, he doesn't have any more eligibility after this year, so he'll be gone. Eric Ayala has one more year of eligibility. He was out, and that was Turgeon's guy. I mean, Turgeon really liked him. They had a great relationship. So you would think he's gone. But then there's Dante Scott, who maybe before the year it was questionable if he was going to declare for the draft. He's not off to the best start, so I'm not sure that's going to happen. So it's not clear if he's going to come back. Hakeem Hart, too. Kudus Wahab, who's a transfer center from Georgetown.
Yeah.
He's a junior. Who knows if he's going to come back? I mean, there's so many moving parts. And really, at the end of the day, like, you're not going to know until we know who the next coach is and if they can relate to them, if the next coach wants those guys. If the next coach wants his brand new group of guys, and he's not going to give those other guys playing time, then they're all going to be out the door.
I'm a Georgetown fan. I don't feel bad for Wahab. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't feel bad for Wahab at all. But you mentioned an interesting point about coaching. Danny Manning's the interim coach. I mean, I grew up watching Danny Manning as a basketball player. I love Danny Manning as a basketball player. But how is he received out there in College Park?
Yeah, I mean, well, Danny Manning, like you just said, he's a basketball legend.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he has a lot of respect from the players, and he has head coaching experience.
Uh-huh.
You know, if anyone was going to move this team through that, through what they're going through right now, I mean, I think he's the right guy to do it, just because he has had head coaching experience. He's been around the game of basketball forever. And, you know, if he can put together like a great run, I mean, he lost his first game against Northwestern on Sunday, but if he can put together a run and this team goes farther than anyone is expecting right now, he's going to be in serious consideration for the head coaching job too. That's a big if, but
yeah.
I think the team is responding well to him right now. He has a lot of respect in that locker room.
Definitely, definitely. So, but, hey, before we let you go, but we're winding down, before we let you go, how can our listeners catch your content, and how can they hit you up on social media?
Yeah, so the site that I'm one of the editors for is Testudo Times.
Mm-hmm.
You can go there. We have a ton of Maryland basketball, football, all Maryland sports content. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Sostry, S-L-S-H-T-R-Y. On Twitter, you can follow me there. You can look at my podcast that I'm doing,
All
my articles that I'm writing. Just everything's on there, so just that's the place to be on Twitter.
Definitely. Hey, so what's the name of your podcast?
Cool,
bro. Make sure and subscribe to it. What's the name of your podcast?
We have two right now. So
okay.
One going Collegiate Chaos, it's called.
Okay.
And then another one is the Testudo Times podcast.
Okay.
They're both on the Testudo Times podcast network. So if you follow me on Twitter and you follow that site, you'll see them all.
Okay, I'll subscribe to it. Appreciate you. Appreciate you for being on.
Awesome.
Hopefully going to have you on during the season.
You guys having me.
We'll have you on during the game. This is not going to be the only time, all right?
All right, I appreciate that. All right. Thanks a lot,
awesome.
Guys.
You're welcome. No problem. Thank you.
All right, brother.
Have a good one.
All right, no problem. Have a good one. Again, follow Sam on Twitter at Sostry. I want to make sure you all I spell it out correctly so you guys can make sure you follow him at Sostry. All right. Ray, banging show. Appreciate everybody. I appreciate everybody, Ray, for being on and the guests.
Absolutely. Went smooth. Our guests were awesome as always.
They were all dope, man.
Good to talk to Al, talk some boxing. We got more boxing to do.
Bruh, I didn't. When he hit that,
underserved here.
Yo, can I say this, dude? When he hit the.
Yeah,
when he said that, dog, when he said about Bud going with Mayweather, I was thinking, I know, I mean, Mayweather works with Al Heyman, basically, but still, like, that's big, especially with the issues that Bob Arum has had with Bud, talking about he could promote, he's hard to promote his own fights. You working with, you know, with one of the icons in terms of promoting their own brand? Bruh, that's big. I'm sorry, that's big.
Yeah, you know what? I'm still looking for it, man. That's why I said Al, he gave us a great nugget. We need to definitely circulate.
Yeah, we got to, bro.
It doesn't sound like it's official. It sounds like it's his sources, but I trust him.
I trust him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all the guys that are popular for covering boxes, like Dan Raphael, uh-huh. Mike Coppinger, none of them have this right now. So, it'll be dope for us to get that out there, circulating online, and then see it come to fruition.
Facts.
Because I think it's a great move for Terrence Crawford to be with the
I think it's amazing.
And get some big fights.
I think it's the best move for him, period. I think that can put
and
him
somebody
on.
Somebody has a good relationship with Al Heyman.
Yeah.
Al Heyman.
Yeah.
The fan base. We're talking about Mayweather. he transcended. So
yeah, it is.
He's making the right move. Tank is the biggest star in boxing, arguably, outside of Canelo.
Oh, yeah. Not man. Canelo's
in large part because of Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Canelo, well, no one beats Canelo. Like, that's a whole different brand to draw. But you're right. I think Tank, arguably, yeah, I think you could be right in terms of pay-per-view buys. I mean, AJ's probably bigger. I mean, that's different. That's a different monster.
Worldwide, AJ, I'm just saying in terms
in
of...
The US,
in the U.S.
I agree with you.
The excitement he generates for fights.
Oh,
because he's
down.
An knockout artist. Yeah. Everybody wants to see...
I think he's the most exciting boxer. Him and Canelo, like the two most exciting boxers in the game. I totally agree with you, bro. I'm not taking that away. I think Mayweather has done wonders for Tank in terms of making him one of the big... Like a big pay-per-view draw. And I think he would do... I think he would definitely make... I feel like if Mayweather got Bud, I know we're going a little bit over about to end the show off anyway, but if Mayweather got Bud, I think Bud can rival Canelo. Like, I just feel like he, in terms of pay-per-view buys, I have that much respect on Mayweather's name in terms of how to promote, one, a brand and promote a boxer. He's already shown you what he can do with Tank. Forget what the resume, what people want to talk about. If you use the resume argument, think about how good Mayweather has promoted this kid where the resume thing isn't hindering him in terms of being a must-see draw. Put it that
awesome
way.
Awesome point. And you know what else, bro, that made me think?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you watch the Porter Way podcast. Shout out to Sean Porter.
Yeah,
great show. He interviewed Terrence right after they fought.
I saw that.
They are friends.
I saw that.
And you saw when Terrence was on the show, he said, people told me they couldn't even figure out how to download it.
Yeah, I heard. I saw that. Saw the same thing, dog.
So,
So
how I interpret that now is, why would I go to DAZN, which is another app site?
App, yeah.
I'm going to go over here either with Al or I'm going to go with Mayweather because Showtime right now, even though that's expiring, you get Terrence Crawford. There's no way Showtime's not going to re-up that deal.
Oh, hell yeah.
PBC, that's the way to go.
That's the way to go.
This app-driven or download.
This app-driven, it's terrible. I don't care what you tell me. It's terrible.
Right, the site you got to watch. Because you know what? It's a deterrent sometimes that you got to have a monthly subscription just to
watch a fight.
Like a Devin Haney fight or watch an ESPN fight, which is why Bob, when he promoted Fury or when he signed a deal for Fury Wilder, he's like, no, we're going to do this as a shared promotion because he knows how big of a deal it is that people want to see Wilder fight. But with Bud, it's like he's Spider Bud. So he's like, nah, you're going to fight on a strictly ESPN Plus pay-per-view fight. People got to download this and pay for it or pay for the monthly fee if they want to watch.
No,
and that's messed up. So,
I'm glad. I'm happy for Bud. I am. I'm totally happy for Bud. That was if true, and I believe it is. I believe it's true. That's a knockout move, bro. That's a body bag move right there. That thing's real. All right, we are not making our Week 14 NFL picks on the show, but you can check out our picks on the Football Garbage Time website. just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search The Urban Sports Scene. Also tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. You can check out the home of The Urban Sports Scene, Empire Media, at AmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Hey, thank you all for listening. Hope you all enjoyed the show. You've been listening to The Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A Mega. Lead us out, big homie.